Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we again want to express our regard, our admiration, yes, our love also, for the knowledge of your presence, Lord, which though we do not see with our eye, as Peter said, having not seen, we love, and that is true, Lord. We love your word, we love your presence. In this particular way, we love, Lord, because we know it is according to the word, according to truth, that you have manifested yourself, thereby showing your great concern, and we are happy for it, we are glad for it, we appreciate it. May we never deviate or change from the word of life, Lord. But rather, as the prophet said, piling word upon word, come to a full of infilling and baptism with the Holy Ghost, walking in the light, Lord, having fellowship. Bless us in the study of your word, Lord, this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 2 of Jezebel Religion, according to Brother Branham's sermon. Preached in Ohio, I suppose it's Chautauqua, right around there in Hamilton. And last night we were looking at Elijah going down to Samaria, which city pretty well had become the center of worship for the 10.5 northern tribes that had split from Judah and were now under Jeroboam. And it had fallen into idolatry and was worshiping particularly Baal. Now, if you get a picture of Baal, it seems to be a burly man seated on some kind of a throne, not very prominent. And he has kind of ram's horns coming out of his head. And he's personified as both good and evil, and he is the sun god. And, of course, you can understand why he's good and evil, because the sun can bring forth nice, gentle rays and bring up the flowers and the food and things, and also you can get hotter and bring forth a desert and would give a lot of starvation and problems. So he is like not Janus and Chambers exactly, but one face looking in, one face looking out, but a two-natured individual. And, of course, they would have to then worship according to seasons and times and all those things which Paul the Apostle forbade. Now, under Omri, the 10.5 tribes regressed into terrible idolatry, but under Ahab it seemed to come to a head because he married Jezebel, the daughter of the high priest Ethbaal. And now at this time then Israel would have a completely hybridized religion. And it boggles the human mind that in less than 200 years Israel had fallen so far from God that it really did not have much of a knowledge of his ways or of his word. So then God sent a prophet to restore his seed that was amongst all of this diverse type of religion. Now, it's something we should understand, and that is that almost every locale had its own understanding and worship of Baal. And that's exactly what you have where the Roman Catholic religion went, and almost with the Protestants the same. It depends on what locale you're at. So whatever religion was already there could be nicely incorporated into it. And now seeing that was done with the heathen, as you know in Mexico and Ecuador, every place you go, Haiti, all the islands, you can find the Roman Catholic religion as it was in the beginning, combining Christianity and idolatry, have done the same thing. It is rampant. That gives you an understanding if the Antichrist rises, when the Antichrist rises on the scene, even though he will predominate in the Christian church, because he is strictly geopolitical and ecclesiastical, it won't be any trouble for him to incorporate into the worldwide religion all other religions. They've been doing it. So it started way back here in the sense that this is where we're getting a track of it in the Bible. It's not that it wasn't there before. It was there before. It started with Nimrod, when they began to worship the signs of the zodiac in the heavens, and they were going to build their own institution in order to reach up to God. And God said then, now whatever man then believes in his heart to do, he'll find a way to do it, and he'll do it. And that's what you see happening today. So as we get this little tape that Brother Roger sent, we're going to get it transcribed for you. You'll find that this Pope has the complete confidence that if he doesn't do it, somebody's going to do it before the year 2000. So you see, go all the way back to Nimrod. We've got another Nimrod there. It was in the days of Nimrod they began using animals to hunt and destroy. Look at your pit bull, your terriers. You think there can be a law against them to kill those animals? Oh, no, your animal rights activists and your stupid Hollywood jerks and those guys will see that this government run by homosexuals will not protect you. I want you to know you haven't got a prayer, so why are you bothering to pray? Now, the Bible says to pray for government. That's very casual, believe me. Very casual. Because all these things are assigned to you, that you've got one recourse, you better get out of here. See, now here's where it all started way back there. Now last night, I mentioned that Brother Branham was going to start in paragraph 31 on page 7, the parallel between Israel at that time, the Old Testament, and America now in this present age, where it started specifically with the finger on it of proof when Kennedy was elected president and there was still a majority of Protestants in the country. And as Brother Branham said, what's the use of sending missionaries down to South America and places where the Catholics are when we've got a Roman Catholic president? The man was 100% right. John Kennedy may have sworn that he had nothing to do with the Pope, but I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe any religion under God's high heaven doesn't have liars in it? Well, if you think so, you're stupid. Pardon my blunt language, but you're just stupid. Right after Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost had fallen, dividing himself amongst people, two arch liars came in, Ananias and Sapphira. Now, at the very time of Paul, Barnabas went haywire, listening to the lies about circumcision. So don't get any high ideals about the morality of man. He is more amoral without morals than simply immoral. In other words, it doesn't become a distinction any longer. Evil is good and good is evil. The means justify the end, or the end justifies the mean, I beg your pardon. All right, Brother Branham said it's a striking thing to see the parallel between Israel of the Old Testament and America now. Both of them were great nations. Both of them have been similarly founded. Their people had come there because of religious persecutions. Israel had been persecuted by Pharaoh and had been in bondage for hundreds of years, where they were deprived of worshiping the true and living God and had been deprived of that privilege, and they became slaves. But God had made them a promise in His Bible, which is His Word, and by His prophets that He'd give them the land, a land that was promised to Abraham. And they came into this land and drove back the occupants of that land and had possessed their inheritance, for God had a purpose in doing that. And so is this great nation of ours. We came here, and on Plymouth Rock, this nation was founded on freedom of religion, because our forefathers had fled Roman persecution of the modern Jezebel system and had come up through and withstood many great persecutions and martyrdoms under that false system of Jezebel. And according to the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, God had promised them a place for the woman was carried into the wilderness where she is fed for a time, and dividing a time. God had made the promise to America, or to the church, the woman, to come to this country. Did you notice in Revelation 13, all the other beasts had come up out of the sea or waters? Revelation 17:15 said, the waters which thou sawest is thickness and multitudes of people. And all the other beasts came up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. But when the United States came up, it came up out of the earth where there were no peoples, just a few Indian tribes, see. And remember, when it came up, it looked like a little lamb. Now a lamb has two horns, and that's civil and ecclesiastical powers. Notice, civil and ecclesiastical. And when the United, remember, then, that the Lamb spake like the dragon did before him, and the dragon was Rome. When the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born, the red dragon, who stood before the woman of Israel, devoured the child as soon as it was born, and sent out a persecution and killed all the children from 2 years down. Remember, Rome did that. Rome, the dragon, stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born. And then we find that this country came up as a freed country, had a lamb, which means the Lamb of God. But after a while, the same system that we have spoke like the dragon, exercised all the power the dragon had before him. They parallel one to the other perfectly. And remember, Israel came up and took her homeland, even Palestine, and drove back all the occupants of that land and possessed the land. We came in and took it from the Indians, drove them back and possessed the land. God had a reason for that. God was going to show the world what he could do with a little band of people that wanted freedom and freedom of religion to serve God. Now, what did God do for Israel? He made Israel the mightiest nation in the world. And she stayed that way until she got out of the will of God. What did he do with America? He made her the mightiest nation in the world until she's getting out of the will of God. Parallel one to the other, exactly. When Israel came over in the land, there were great people because they had great leadership. They had God-fearing men over them, David, King Solomon. All the world feared them. They enjoyed that privilege of no wars, no troubles, and living under the power of God until the people from all over the known world came to see them. You see a parallel there. People melt coming into America. God gave them a gift of discernment. It was upon Solomon. And the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, came all the way up across the desert, took her 3 months, just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when she saw that Solomon could discern spirits and made known to her the secrets of her heart, she said, "All I've heard about you is right, and more besides." She was convinced that was God. And America, upon the basis of our forefathers who came here for religious freedom, we had godly men given as leaders, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, men of renown and character, men of God. America was America in those days. George Washington, that at Valley Forge, there at Valley Forge, before he crossed the Delaware, prayed all night until he was plumb wet to his waist, kneeling in the snow. And the next morning when the Americans started to cross, there were only about 20 persons of them had shoes to wear. That was the American army. But they had a principle, and they had something that they had to fight for. They didn't care what came or went. The farmers came in, stopped their plows, and took out the oxen and got their rifles and went to fight for what they knew to be freedom. And the next day, I believe it was, 4 or 5 bullet holes, musket bullets, went through his coat, that's talking to Washington, and hat, and never touched him. Men of God who founded this nation, great men, no wonder they wrote, "Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King." Now, of course, you know I'm going to go back and start reading over again. That's just to give you the understanding where Brother Branham lays it out as a prophet of God, knowing the Scripture, that this is 100% correct. Now, what we're going to do then, I think at this particular point, is go to the Bible, and we're going to go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel was the time of the Babylonian captivity, which was subsequent to the idolatry and the horrible state into which Israel had fallen. All right, there's a lot of reading to be done here, so we're going to just buzz right along. Chapter 2, 31 to 45. "Thou, O king, sawest and beheld, and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass." Now notice the head was of gold, the belly and the breast of silver, and the belly and thighs of brass. That's three parts. The fourth part, "his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." You notice a serious deterioration going on. In other words, there must be some sort of power that is being dissipated until the power at the end is nowhere near like the power at the beginning. In other words, there is no refinement as there was in the beginning. There's something wrong at the end time. "Thou sawest till the stone was cut, that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image made a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now you can see something sequential here. And that sequential statement is found in verse 35, where it shows the progression from the time of the striking of the feet. There is nothing left of anything but the kingdom of God. And you know where that takes you. It takes you to New Jerusalem. takes you past the white throne, takes you beyond the millennium. All right. Reading. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. Now there's your goal. See, the highest one. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over all of them. Thou art this head of gold. Now remember, this heathen king became converted. He literally became a true believer in God and worshiped God. God put him through the mill. But you do not find that about the success of empires. Their leaders do not come to God and become Christian. This is why there was a head of gold. Had it continued, had Babylon continued that same spirit, it would have been fine. But you'll notice his son immediately went into idolatry, as did his grandson, but they purported to listen to a prophet. What's that tell you? Hybridization. The guy never cleared the decks. Israel always left a high place, left a grove, left an altar. They never did shoom across the board and cleaned up. And there's never going to be a cleanup until God does the cleanup, because man isn't going to do it. No prophet is going to do it. Why? They kill the prophets. You try and kill God. Now see, it got blown at the head. There must have been something about Babylon that was really worthwhile. There really was something there in this king. But if you run now, let's take the next picture. Now, wheresoever the kingdom of men dwelleth, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, he hath given in thy hand and made thee ruler over them all. The earth they had of gold. Now, that fellow's just like another Adam and Eve. He had an opportunity. A great opportunity. Blew it. That is, the people blew it afterward. Now, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And another third kingdom of brass also will be inferior to number two, and bear rule over the earth. As silver is less than gold, and brass is less than silver. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. It doesn't say it is iron, but it says the feet are iron and clay, so you know it comes down from the trunk, the legs. It's iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdueth all things, an iron hammer will beat the gold, will beat the silver, will beat the brass. You don't hear too much about iron on iron, though that's possible. What do you do with iron? You usually put it in the forge. Take the heat to it. You might do that to the rest, but usually it's a beating process. Now, as iron breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. In other words, it won't just break in pieces, it'll put the pressure on. You won't get away from it. You're stuck. When you get into the thing, it's over. And they're not going to treat you right. They're going to cut you down, and they're going to make slaves of you. That's how the Bible tells you Rome made slaves and bought the souls of men. You show me South America's got away from the Catholics. Why? Because Pizarro went in there, and the rest of those birds from Spain went in. And they destroyed a people far nobler than they. You say, just a minute, those Aztecs and different ones, they had human sacrifices. Now what about the Roman Catholic Church martyring the Protestants, 60,000 in one night? Don't be ridiculous, brother, sister. Read what's in the books and read what the prophet taught. And know where you stand, not a bunch of lies. Because that's all the world is full of. As thou sawest the feet and toes in potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron. The strength of iron will still be there. What does iron do? It breaks in pieces and bruises and abuses. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And that, what's the clay part? The clay is always humanity. An empire force over humanity. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. There will be no fifth empire, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it broke in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is, thus saith the Lord. You better believe it. All right. Let's go to Daniel 7. Here's another man with a vision. Here's a prophet with a vision. Not a Gentile now, not a good man. Old Nebi was a pretty good old fella, but not to be compared to Daniel. And he knew it. All right, 1-9. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion, had eagle's wings, and I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, you understand that. And now the next one, the Medo-Persian Empire. And behold, another beast, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. It had three ribs in the mouth of it, and in between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now that's your silver. That's inferior. After this I beheld, lo, another like a leopard. That's your brass. And it had upon its back four wings of a fowl. And the beast was also given four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now we get down to number four. After this I saw the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding, and it had a great iron teeth. Now it doesn't describe beyond that. It doesn't tell the animal. It devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue with its feet. It was diverse from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. And I consider the horns... And behold, there come up from among them another little horn, and before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Mouth speaking great things. Now that's where this empire ends up. It ends up under the same brutal conditions as it started, but now it's got a mouth. And the feet are mostly clay with a bit of iron in it. So now you got a mouth. Right? That's what it says. The attention is to the mouth. So don't forget it. All right? And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the ancient days to sit, his garments white as snow, and his hair of his head pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousand ministered unto him, and 10,000 times the thousand stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Okay, verses 13-14. And I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, came the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And they are given unto him dominion and glory in the kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. The dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. All right, now, flip the pages back to Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, stand forever, leaving neither root nor branch, according to Malachi 4. Right? Malachi 4:1. All right. Now, with that, we go to Daniel 7:13-14. And it says here, I saw in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came the ancient days, and they were brought near before him. There's given unto dominion, glory, and kingdom, and all people and nations and languages serve him. And dominion is everlasting dominion, and shall not pass away. All the rest passed away. And the kingdom that, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed. Now, what I'm driving at here is, that regardless of the substance of the two visions, so different as to the literal visions that God gave so that one is positively different from the other as to the pictures. It is the same vision because it ends up in the same manner. No more kingdoms. God's kingdom thoroughly established after judgment, and it's over. He owns it all, and it's all run by the people of God. You understand what I'm saying? The two visions are identical because they take you to the same place. It's two roads running parallel. Two roads lead Babylon, and they end particularly in New Jerusalem. They're running parallel. It's only one road. It's one place where one man had a vision of it and another man had a vision of it. And they are identical. So, Daniel 2 deals with the four divisions. And Daniel 7 describes the spirit of each division. There are four kingdoms. Gold, silver, brass, iron, iron to clay. Then you come up with the animals that are described. Now, if you go to the book of Revelation, and in there, I guess it's the fourth chapter, there are four beasts round the throne, which are creatures, living creatures, which signify the spirit of the ages. There are four beasts, or four living creatures. And that is the spirit of the ages, what we look at. Concerning the four seals which envelop the entire ages, though there are three more seals which are explanatory. From seal number one, when the white horse goes forth, to the consummation where death and hell are in his trail, and the kingdom given over to God, there are four major spirits. You have the lion, you have the calf, and you have the man, and you have the eagle. So at the end time, you have these beasts which are there. The lion, what is it, and the leopard and bear. Okay, but the fourth one is missing. It is missing because there is not an animal that describes the chameleon effect of this empire. Because one animal cannot portray it. Now, you see, you've got three animals that can. But there's something missing here. What is that animal? Now, let's go back and take a look at what Daniel saw. For that fourth world empire that comes right down to the rope. Because people can say the Roman Empire doesn't exist. Look, it does exist. But it exists in another form. It is not a head of gold. It is not silver. It is not brass. It isn't even iron anymore. But it contains the same element of iron which depicts it to bruise, to break, and to bruise. To not only be happy to destroy people, but to literally torture. The same spirit that Augustine talked about. He said if God could smite down Paul in his raging against him, then it is right for the Catholic Church to smite down anybody if they rage against the Church. Now, you can do what you want, but that's history. That's in the Catholic theology. Now, you know I've got more respect for Roman Catholics than any Protestant because the Roman Catholics coming in make the best believers in this message. But I ask you, examine where you came from and thank God that you came out. That you were a seed that could depart from that very thing. That you know that you abhor and your Catholic friends abhor, but they will not leave it. Then they become partakers of the blood that was shed. An answer to God. Now that's Bible, brother, sister. That's thus saith the Lord. Not because Lee Vail said it. That's the word of God. Upon this generation, God will visit the punishment of your ancestors and your religion. And you'll stand back and say, thank God I came out. And the Pentecostals are chaff. And if you think I'm not happy to get away from chaff. God said he scatters these people like the chaff in the wind. Burns up the chaff. Who's the chaff? Pentecostal. And where does it leave the Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians? Makes you think and tremble just a little bit. My blood right now, I'm cold-blooded, but my blood's running a little bit cold right down to my feet as I think about these things. And it should be running much colder. Running much colder. All right. Now we must be careful to realize there are only four kingdoms even unto the very end, no more is suggested. There is a fifth, which is by grace, which is the kingdom of God. So that the Roman Empire actually has existed from the fall of Greece until today, and it is that kingdom that will be destroyed because it bears within it the word of God by the vindicated prophets that promised their continuity until their destruction. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, today, no difference. It's a Babylonian religion that Hyslop's to Babylon talks about so much in Brother Branham endorsed. All right. We pay particular attention to Daniel 7 and 8. And the night vision, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, great iron teeth, devoured, broken pieces, stamped the residue. Oh, yeah. Diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. We notice there is no actual description of the fourth beast. Lion, bear, leopard preceded it. But we get this information about verse 7 and 8 by reading Daniel 2 and 33. Daniel 2 and 33. And it says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, I beg your pardon, his legs were of iron, and his feet part of iron and clay. Now he's coming right down to the feet, because why? The image does not strike the legs, it strikes the feet. So the end time, the image is completely resolved into feet. This is the image that was built by the world, starting in the world, started with Eden, and that was a true head of gold, and it could have come right down to where it built a people for God. It would have ended in the feet. So God showed the kingdom starting at the top to the bottom, but his kingdom goes from the bottom to the top. And we are now at the period of headship, and don't let anybody in the sound of my voice deny and understand, headship has returned to the church. Not under some preacher. You think you're under me and then succeeding your brother White? You are. Well, you know what you are. It's a one-to-one. Now, you can follow Balaam and Baal PR. Or you can follow Cortez and Balaam. And you can follow the spirit of Moses and Elijah. The spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. It's up to you. It's not up to me. All right. We're reading. It says, thou sawest till the stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Now notice, there is a bruising condition at the end time. That has never been paralleled in all history. Now, do you know what I'm driving at? The whole world goes after the beast. The fourth beast that isn't pictured, who is iron and never loses it. Has he destroyed the infants at the time of Herod? Has the soldiers crucified Christ? As Rome could have intervened and didn't intervene. And as Pius could have intervened and saved the Jews, he didn't do it. And the Red Cross wouldn't do it. And yet you give your money to the Red Cross. And Amnesty is fighting the Jews today.
Where do you stand, people in this church? You stand naked before God, Israel in the homeland, and Christ is bound to return and pick us up in midair. We're not playing anymore. It's over. The handwriting is not only on the wall, but the interpretation in mighty loud voice, and it's not my voice, it's the voice of a prophet. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. In other words, when the system is gone, it is gone. They try to tell you in the millennium, the people that believe Matthew 24 and say, well, that's the judgment of nations. That's all those nations, you know, in there. And the nations that don't come up against Israel. You see, they're the ones that are allowed to go in and procreate this and that. That's a lot of hogwash. They, listen, I said years ago, under the United Nations, there'd be a token army from all nations come up in that land. Right today, you see it. And they will turn on Israel. Because Bush already has. He speaks exactly like a dragon? Don't think he isn't. Little wimpy Bush that got the presidency by ripping Dukakis apart. Could be, for all I know, twice the man. For these dirty tactics, with his spirit of compromise. Call himself born again. Born again, my foot. Not speaking evil of governments and things, just telling the truth. How can he be? Why didn't he stand with Israel? The nation, the army, and Saddam is turning the table, so they're going to be pointing at Israel. The issue steering away from oil. America's there for one reason, not to save the Kuwaitis, but to save oil. And by the time we pay for that war, the oil's going to cost us $100 a drum. Never mind just 40 or 50 bucks and the blood and everything else shed in the drain. This country doesn't collapse. There's something wrong somewhere. The prophet was on this earth in vain and God didn't back his word. But you watch him back his word. Hallelujah. Iron, the whole system's gone. Like the chaff of the summer floor. He burns the chaff with unquenchable fire, leaving neither root nor branch. And notice when he said leaving root nor branch, it's that people who go to the white throne and are destroyed in the lake of fire. Those starts in the tribulation. And the fire comes at the end of the 3.5 years. I hope you're understanding sequence because that's what I'm trying to give you this morning. Now, this is the dream. This is the interpretation. All right. Particular attention then. We have paid here to Daniel 7 and 8. We saw the description. We see what's in Daniel 2, how they parallel exactly. Going back to Daniel 7 and 7 again. Make no mistake about it. It says here, in that verse, I consider the horns, and behold, they come among the little horn, before whom the other three horns were plucked up by the root. And behold, in this instant horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now let's look at this picture. What was before the throne as well as the four beasts? The seven eyes of God, which were seven spirits, which indicated the seven church age messengers which spoke for God. This fell at the end time. This fella, notice, the horn full of eyes. One man purporting to speak and to have the wholeness of God, which is your Pope. And he's all mouth. Well, you say, Brother Vale, sounds like you're telling us that this fellow really doesn't have any power. It's all seduction. It's all a bluff. You're exactly right. That's what I'm telling you. Show me where the Vatican's got an army, but show me where he doesn't control armies. You're looking at Scripture, brother, sister. You're hearing what the prophet taught. And I'm trying to help you to understand these things as I believe the prophet taught them. Of course, I'll be told by the Jeffersonville and all those gangs I'm way off. That's okay. If you believe it, don't have to come back. No problem with me. Live or die, sink or swim, this is my understanding. I'm not about to change it because I haven't heard any voice from heaven. If I did, I wouldn't believe it anyway. See? All right, here we have the strength of iron. It's great power to control, but Daniel notices that this empire is not like the other three, for it had divisions and yet did not fall, and goes out of existence the same as Babylon, Persia, and Greece. It doesn't have divisions. The others never had. It was Babylon. It was Persia, Medo-Persia. It was Greece. Then it was Rome. Now you've got a whole series within it. And at the end, whatever this kingdom was then and stood for in the spiritual complexity of matters and religious experience, it's got it right today, but its influence is magnified because according to the Bible, it covers the whole earth. You say, how can it? It's got to. Or the image striking the feet would not bring the whole earth into the kingdom of God. Okay, what about it? If hitting the feet, which is the tail end of Rome, blows the whole thing out, then where is Rome today? There is no place where it isn't. Now you say, well, now, brother, don't brother fail me. You don't read the Bible. For I got to see something. You don't believe a revelation. That picture doesn't mean a thing. You're sitting here lying. See, I'm nailing you down on purpose. You've got to understand these things and stand with them. There's no time for wishy-washy. No time for a husband to have a headship and not advise his wife and say, look, girl, you're out of order by saying those things against the Scripture and bringing your family under their feet under your table. Where are you standing? Woman's a church. Not fussing at women, just telling you, hey, let's get the thing in order. Now, it's clay feet. Now, not iron feet. Clay feet with a little iron in them. Stamped and destroyed like iron and took over all that was left of the world's kingdoms. Daniel showed how this was done in verse 8. I read it. I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them a little horn. That's continuity. It's smaller now. The empire is decreasing. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. It going down more and more. And behold, in this horn, you're looking at the end now of power, because horn signifies the power. Were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, he was running a bluff as to his position, but he had enough power to make it stick where he could take over. Now, come on. Gold, 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 and more gold. The gold went to silver, and the silver went to brass, and the brass went to iron. But headship is what? Gold. And who got the gold? Rome got the gold. Who got the paper? Jews got the paper. What's the world going to do? It's going to go to Rome. Remember, American money rules the commerce of the world, and Dr. Malachi Martin recognizes it. He's got to, because world commerce is controlled by 78% of American money. So now, we got the gold back into the feet. And the head of gold was the most perfect world system at that time. So what's going to be the perfect world system at the end time? Head of gold. Going to come on right down to the end, and this will be the great lying wonder as far as I know. Now, I don't find that on the tape, and I don't know why I say it, except I believe Brother Branham could have told me privately that the great sign, the lying wonder, was controlling the economy and getting it back on its feet. Now, Daniel shows how it was done in verse 8. It is a human program devised in order to rule the world. This Now this empire Rome has gone geopolitical and ecclesiastical. Now, Malachi Martin does not really understand the ecclesiastical, or he is hiding it. You'll hear it because we're, Dave and Poyser are going to work on it. I'll read it to you and then it'll be in print for you. Because he understands the political, he knows the Pope is a geopolitical person, and he maintains his ecclesiastical power, for the Pope has dedicated himself to Mary Olatry. Utter heathenism in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, completely taken by a completely deluded people. Now, pure clay, pure humanism, Satan's Eden, man's ultimate, is Satan's kingdom, which is on earth at this time. Let us now go to Revelation chapter 13. Remember, this is what a prophet said. This is America. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now hold it, buddy. There's only one empire left, and that's Rome. And this was a diverse empire, and it doesn't even have an animal described. But it says it has terrible teeth like iron. It doesn't go further than that. Iron that rends and rips, feet that tramp down, power that keeps people subject. And in him is Babylon, Greece, Medo-Persia, right on down. The kingdoms of this world are all bound in him. Everything is there. All right. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet like unto the feet of a bear, and the mouth is the mouth of a lion. And it still isn't bear, lion, or a leopard. It's a combination. As Brother Branham said, the three, the white horse, the red horse, and the black horse was all poured into one, so everything is now poured into one. That's a one world religion. That's a one world system. And it's under this peculiar empire that's called Rome. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, Brother Branham categorically said that was imperial Rome restored by papal Rome. The Visigoths and the various ones that came down and destroyed Rome, they were helpless like a bunch of chickens attacked by a bunch of weasels. And all they could do was stand there. But during the wars, was there a bomb dropped on the Vatican? No. And Pius stood there and let the Jews go down the drain. And American Red Cross let them go down the drain. And Roosevelt let them go down the drain. And all the world lets them go down the drain. And it's on the verge right now. And who do you think's going to come and help them? Bush? Ha! They're looking to Messiah. A whole lot more than we are. And we've got more cause than they have because we claim Christ as the virgin-born Son of God and our Savior and the soon-returning one. They'll scream one of these days, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And if it's the one that we don't think is the one, let him come anyway. We're ready. There's nothing else. You think it can't happen? You ain't seen nothing yet, brother, sister. I preach way beyond myself. I have to. Now, and they worship the... Aha! Here's the animal. A dragon. The beast that Daniel could not describe is a dragon. Fire-shooting, mythical creature. Because ain't no such thing as a dragon. The closest you get, I suppose, is a crocodile. Or the alligator, something like that. But here's the creature. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who's like to the beast, and who's able to make war with him? Now, since the Bible categorically calls the devil the dragon, you can see that Rome is actually the manifestation of the devil. That goes over like a lead balloon, doesn't it? That's tame for some of you, because you'd like me to talk about Oreo cookies and icing on top of it. Go to sleep, it's your business. Daydream, it's your business. The Bible mentions that. If the good man had known what time the thief was going to come, he'd have been prepared for the thief. Boom, boom. Oh, yeah. This is not a message to fool it, brother, sister. This is a message to believe and to live. And I don't mean by living that you believe it, because your believing is strictly passive. Your living is simply going by the narrow, by the little confines set before. Simple as ABC. Men don't dress like women, and women don't dress like men. In other words, get rid of your perversion. Don't sit around and say that you're a child of God with your perversions. Yeah. That was not sneaky, that's just the truth. There was given unto him mouth, the mouth that Daniel saw, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him for 3.5 years. Power was given to him. In other words, he can say what he wants, and he is backed up by the power, which is Satan. And God allows it. God wants it. Did you see that film clip of De Gaulle walking down the streets of Paris? Anybody see it but me? Get it. Wherever you get it. You can see the bullets whizzing right past De Gaulle's nose. He walks right down, a man of destiny. Now the bullet hits him. Won't get this guy either. Don't think something's going to come to your help. This guy is not the stupid idiot that this guy was recently. He thought he was another Houdini when he made a coffin with a side panel. And you could bury him and he'd get out of the side panel and dig him up to soft earth. He got really too smart for his britches. And he said, pour on some cement. They dug him out dead. Antichrist is no fool. This man is no idiot. He talks, brother, sister. And you know what? The power is where his mouth is. He's a lying prophet. And he's backed up to the hilt to lead people from away from God, who is the Word. You do it. Was given him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Power given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Everybody gets taken in but the bride. If any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, if you're listening and you see what the prophet is saying here, what William Branham taught us, what's in Revelation, what's in Daniel, you've got the picture. Now, he that leads into captivity should go to captivity. He that kills the sword may kill the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Don't worry. Your day's coming. Christ is coming. And I beheld another beast coming up of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. America takes on the full stature of Catholicism and builds the image to it. In other words, we pay the entire way by a religion and what we do. And America's fast becoming nothing but a mouth. She doesn't dare tax the dam right now. She's hoping with Bush's big bluff to have some kind of a little peace worked out. I suppose they just might do it. I don't know, and I care less. But I know it's a token against the great day when all the arms here are coming against you. Pretty soon Japan will even have forces in there. Don't worry, they'll pressure Japan. Japan's got a constitution that we can't send them out based upon America's own treatment of Japan. We can't have an army going out of our nation. Who said they can't change that? Come on. The words of man ain't worth a plug nickel. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him that caused the earth and then was drowned into worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Complete restoration of power by a method to Rome. It's the method of the mouth. And the mouth backed by power. Like Brother Branham said, the Pope can call off a war anytime he wants. No Catholic, he said, will go to that war. They tell him to go to war. He maketh great, he doeth great wonders. He caused fire to come down from heaven and so on. Deceives those that dwell upon the earth. Power to give life to the image of the beast. America's 78% of the whole world's wealth. going out there controlling all the systems. The beast comes by and says, hey, buddy, I'll back it up with my gold. Why, thank you, dear Reverend Pope, Father, glorious God and Savior. Oh, oh, oh. Man, I'm sure glad my money's safe in the bank. Yeah, thank you, Scripture. Thank you, Scripture. Should you? I believe it, whether you do or not. I believe that's what Brother Brand's talking about. And causes many as not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark on their right hand and their foreheads. Study the word as they say it, and do it as they say it. That no man might have the right to buy or sell that didn't have the mark. You got to have the mark, the name of the beast, a number of his name. And here's written, him that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it's a number of a man, whose number is 666, which is exactly the number of the Pope, who claims, notice there are 3 sixes, and he claims 3 positions. He is the vicar of Christ over heaven and hell and purgatory, and there ain't no such a thing as an animal called purgatory, and there ain't no such thing as a dragon. It is a lying spirit that's done it, which is the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. He went right to Eve and he lied, and the church has taken the lie. So you see what we're talking about here. Okay, this is the same one spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2. Today it is just a spirit waiting for an incarnation. The spirit of God is here, and the spirit of Satan is here. The spirit of Satan will come to this earth shortly in a measure, in a form in which he has not been before. In other words, he's just like God, the great God who doesn't change, but changes his roles. And so as we go up to the incarnation of the spirit that's amongst us, so Satan will now have his spirit incarnated in a man. It's coming very rapidly. That's 2 Thessalonians. All right, now, we want to particularly notice something. It is comparing Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. In Daniel 2, 44 and 45. Now, see, I should have this in the machine here, put it on the ceiling and take more time. But you know I don't do things like that. You know? Okay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be after other people, but it'll break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It'll stand forever. In other words, as Rome did, so will God do to Rome. Right. Break in pieces. Take control. For much as thou sawest the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that's Christ coming back, and break in pieces the clay, the silver, gold, and brass, the whole bit. The great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass after, and the dream is certain, and is absolutely thus set to learn. Okay. Daniel 7, 7 to 8. We're looking at a chronology. After this night I saw a vision of the fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, my, it was horrible, strong, exceedingly strong, great iron teeth, devoured and broken pieces, stamped the residue. Oh man, he just took over and stomped everything down, and he said, I'm in control, there's nobody going to raise a voice against me, you've had it, bud, when I take over. Oh, you say, but Brother Vale, there's love in the Catholic Church, there's love here and there's love there, you've got to be sick. You're calling a nighttime affair in a back alley with a prostitute an act of love. That's exactly what you're doing. You don't know what love is. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And there's only one conduit to the Holy Ghost. That's the Word. And if you haven't got the Word, you can't tell me about love. I'll look you in the eye and say, forget it, bud. You say, Brother Dave, you ain't got it. And I'll say, that's all right. I might not have it, but I understand. And you ain't even got that. I stand here, a man that's not duped, a man that's not a fool, but you could sit there perfectly fooled. So throw your hat in the ring. I've got no problem. Never did think much of myself. Any man stands before God can't think much of himself. When he sees how far he is from his father's image, you wonder why boys and girls cower in the presence of their father. They got a real godly father, someone they can look up to, and they really turn on him. Can't stand the image. You get someone with something in his heart, he'll revere his father. She'll revere the father. It won't be some stupid father image of this and that thing, because something is real there. You stand before God. Made in his image, there'll be a reverence, there'll be an honor there. And you'll look at yourself and wonder how you could possibly belong to such a great personage as Almighty God. That'll give you a complex right there. Instead of these other things called complexes. Man gets a complex over everything, stands before God, says, no, boom, 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 boom. Pillar of fire right in the building. God said, Brother Brandon said, all you people chewing gum. A decent school teacher, whip you and hit your butt for you and throw you out of the room, chewed gum in class. Something wrong, brother, sister. Not God, not his prophet. All right, we're reading this scripture here. Weren't we? Got to verse 8. See here? Consider the horns. In the end time, there's this great mouth. Ends in a mouth. Ends with teeth. The head ends with teeth. The gold ends with teeth. The Rome of gold, rending, destroying, and tramping. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't move. And this is not some Orwellian mythology. This is the Bible. This is not some statistician, some analyst. This is the Word of God. All right. Now, we read 7 and 8. We go to verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the ancient deities as hid, his garments white as snow, and hair white as wool, pure as wool, his throne of fiery flame, and so on. And judgment was opened, and so those things are taking place. Now, these verses are an interpolation as far as I understand. And I will tell you why I believe they are an interpolation. Because this is the same vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. That was interpreted by Daniel. It shows the kingdom really belongs to God and is going to go back to God, people with God's own children. So therefore, Daniel must tell the same thing. And he said, I beheld. And I looked way down the end and I saw the same thing Nebuchadnezzar saw. But notice, that's an interpolation. Because what does it say here? Let's look at the 7-8 again. That's a beast. The 8th verse. Right down to the end time. The eyes of a man. Mouth speaking great things. In other words, the prophetic eyes. This is a false prophet. It's bound by the power of hell. Now watch. Verse 11. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words the horn spoke. The horn doesn't speak at the great white throne. The horn is speaking before the millennium. So that's an interpolation. You follow me? He said, and a mouth speaking great things, and I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. Blasphemy. Insulting the saints. Insulting heaven. A complete dog. See? And I beheld till the beast was slain. Book of Revelation. His body destroyed and given the burning flame. That's both cast into hell and the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season. What about the rest of those guys? They just died off naturally. They petered out. Now watch. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Came the ancient days, they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people and nations and language should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. That's a stone not made with hands coming down and hitting the feet. Now watch. And I beheld till the thrones were set, and the ancient of days did sit, and his garment white. There's your chronology. Daniel had to put it that way. He said, look, I'm looking all the way down. And he threw the interpolation in. But notice how he goes back. And he said, the voice speaking, I'll tell you more about it. That voice ceased to exist at the end of the 3.5 years. It's all over. Then the millennium. Then the judgment, the white throne. Then comes the new Jerusalem. That's the whole thing. Now do you see their chronology? That's the best I can teach you. I don't know how to teach you anything else but the way I am teaching it. See? Now, so we read again verse 8 and 11. And in that verse it talks about the end of the Roman Empire. And you see this a dragon. You see the Antichrist. He's backed by the power of the devil. And he can back up everything he says. And he's got those eyes that mean he sees everything. He takes it all in. He knows every move. You can't stump that guy. But at the right time, God's got a bomb for him. It's all right. God will take care of him. See, now listen. Now, Verse 8, you jump down to 11, and I heard his word. See, I went all through that for you. All right, now look. Let's go over here to Revelation. Now, we read over here about the Ancient of Days, didn't I? All right, now go to the book of Revelation, and we go to the first chapter where Brother Branham took us. And you notice in 12 to 18, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Hey, that's what Daniel said. In verse 13, one like unto the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Now what is he? He's the judge. He's the judge. And there cannot be a judgment without a judge. And there cannot be a judge without a prophet. And there cannot be a prophet without God, because God is the righteous judge of all the earth. Ha! There it is right there. There it is right there. Oh, I don't believe that. Hallelujah, I do. I feel really good. I don't have to believe anything about myself. Don't believe anything about anybody else. I just believe what he said, because he's the only thing I know vindicated. You can do what you want. Heaven or hell is open. Amen. Live or die, sink or swim, heaven or hell. And I'm still bolstering myself, too, because I see a lot of things, and they bug me, too. I'm not to the faith of Abraham yet. I'm not standing up preaching. I preach beyond myself, and I'm aiming toward it. You preach yourself, that's where you'll sit. Let the arrows go beyond, brother, sister, and catch up to him. All right. And he had in his right hand seven stars, like a sharp two-edged sword, causes as right as the sun shines, and so on. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, alive forevermore, and have the keys of gates in hell. And he's opened hell to take those guys in. Now you see, there's your Ancient of Days. Now notice, he said, the Son of Man approached unto the Ancient of Days. That's exactly right. He approaches because he leaves the Father's throne and meets the Father in midair. And the Father now tabernacles. The same Spirit that's here now incarnates himself, and we crown him King of Kings, and he won't be William Branham either. Lord of Lords and God Almighty. He'll be the Prince of David, the King David upon the throne. He'll be all those great, wonderful titles, all wrapped up in one single person. Go, takes us to the millennium, brings up the white throne, remodels the whole heavens and earth, and brings us all back. That's exactly what's going on. Now, Daniel 7, again. Well, you don't have to take it again. 13, 14, I read it to you. Exactly what we're looking at. We're looking here at the appearing and the rapture that takes place at the end time when the beast is coming on the scene, but the bride gets taken out of here. That's exactly what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to the end and into chapter 5. We read it many, many times. Okay, now, 7, Daniel 9 to 10, there's your white throne set up. So there's the secrets. I went through it already. Now, okay, we're going to go to Daniel 12, and I'm rushing. How much time we got left? A few minutes? Oh, that's good. I can do that easy. Then we'll quit. Daniel 12, 2 to 10. And as many of them sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, that's resurrection. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame, everlasting contempt. Now, look. In there are literally two resurrections. Because the first resurrection is for the righteous only, and there's no shame and contempt there. You better believe it. Because I tell you what, a bunch of us guys living here right now, and we are the muckiest ones of all history. Upon us has devolved every insult that anybody could put upon the earth by destroying it with their vulgarity and with their pesticides and with their inhuman things that they're doing. We are the worst people physically. We are the worst people mentally, morally, spiritually, except we got smarts and computers. We're the scurvy ones of the bunch. Yeah, we walk right out of here with eternal life. Where's the shame and contempt? Just not that the first resurrection doesn't have that. It can't have it. Now, but there's going to be a second resurrection to shame and everlasting contempt if they do not qualify as like unto sheep, which are your foolish virgin. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many righteous as the stars forever and ever. And thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. When did that occur? That way back in the book of Revelation. Seal not the sayings of the seventh, seal the sayings of seven thunders and reveal them not. Don't write them. Now seal up the book. Seal up the book what? seal up the book concerning the Roman Empire. Because Daniel went through two empires, Babylon and Medo-Persia.
Right.
So, all right, seal it up. Seal up the mystery of the dragon. And the dragon, like a crocodile, is just as wicked with his tail as is he with his mouth. Because he can whirl that tail so fast, knock you off, chase a horse 45 miles an hour, he'll get you and he gets you and he cheats, man, you're gone, and he'll pull you right down in the water and drown you and eat you when you're rotten, and the people and the waters are peoples. And he'll take you and bury you amongst the people. Say, ah, the whole crowd's with me, bless God. What are you standing out alone there for? Come on, join with us. You can eat. You can have a house. You can have clothes. Come on, listen, the water's fine. Come on in. Yeah? Crocodile bite me, pull me under. Have some of you full crocodile bit already? Is any in this church hankering for Pentecost like some of the guys around here can't stand the word? If we took this message as we ought, you wouldn't need to worry about one single gift, brother, sister. They're on the shelf, as it were. Sweet Spirit of Jesus Christ put this church in order, you'd have people healed left and right. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. Too much of the old devil left hanging around yet. That's the trouble. All right, we're reading. Seal up the book. Hi, Daniel. Look, behold, and there stood two other, one on this side of the river, one on the other side of the river, and one man clothed in linen held up. He said, how long shall it be to end these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, which held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, swear by him to live forever and ever, that time should be time and a half, now 3.5 years it's going to take before the holy people have been scattered and yet brought together under God, and the whole thing is finished. Now, tells you right there, at the end time, there's got to be somebody, just the same as in Revelation 10, the same as the God, when God swore to Abraham, he holds his hand up and swears by himself. Come on. You mean to tell me God never came down here? God never came down there and actually swore by himself? Do you think that God trusted just a prophet? God did not trust just a prophet. God himself came. Amen. He never trusted a prophet, never trusted an archangel, never trusted a cherubim when he went down to speak to Adam and Eve and said, what have you done? And the same one on the throne came down in Revelation 10 and 1. That's what John saw in a vision. And the mystery was, sealed that book until the end time. Now at the end time, God swears by himself. What does it mean, God swear by himself? I put my words in a thus saith the Lord, and proves it. What does it mean, raise his hand toward heaven, signifying the right arm of power? Everything based in the Lord Jesus Christ coming to pass. We are at the end time, and 3.5 years are going to close it out. They surely will. Why? Because the seals have been opened. Seal not the sayings of the prophet of this book, for the time is at hand. You cannot stop the Jews, the 144,000 coming in. You cannot stop the armies going against her. You cannot stop the Antichrist. You can only do one thing. You can give your heart and life to God and say, God, fill me with your word. Word upon word, and I'm truly full of the Holy Ghost. And something begins to move and happen in my life and get me out of this doldrum. I tell you, this church is hot about one thing, and that's the presence of God. Or they say, well, you don't live it. I don't listen. I'll tell you something. Let's get this sweet spiritual fat heads this morning. A revelation is passive. I don't care how active you get. You got a wrong revelation in a bright cane. Yelling doesn't make it so. It is so I'm yelling. Something to yell about. It's what you believe that counts. And then your confession is made with your mouth. And if you're scared to confess it, you haven't got the guts to do it, there's something wrong with you. Don't go out there and try to spout it off. Just listen to it. Here we are back in Revelation 22, and we can close. All right. Revelation 10th verse. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. What is that one that said it? That great one that God sent to John. It's a prophet. Well, Christ's a prophet too, remember. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He is filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. Isn't that what it says in the book of Daniel? Let's go back and find out. Didn't read Daniel, did I, a whole bit. Let's go back to 12 again. Hey, I don't want to blow this out the window. He held up his right hand. Okay. And I heard, but understood not. Then it said, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? He said, go thy way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Now notice, many shall be purified, made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. There you promise the wisdom of God at the end time. What is that spirit? The spirit of wisdom in the church. Ephesians 1:17. There's a 15:16, right on down. Okay, and at that time, what is the saying in Revelation? He that's righteous, righteous still. He that's filthy, filthy still. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And I'm ending it. Blessed are those that wash their robes. Blessed are the dogs that become sheep. Blessed are the hogs that become sheep. Blessed are the goats that become sheep. Hallelujah. You've got to be insane. Either you are or you aren't. So, Brother Bill, I don't understand, but you understand. Nobody said you had to. I wouldn't be teaching. But you can believe what I'm telling you. If it rings in your heart, as long as I'm quoting the prophet, I believe I am. Don't have to understand it all, but you get the drift and understand this. There was a prophet, and there couldn't be a prophet with the word outside of God being there. Amen. And that man vindicated God proving himself. Just like it was with Moses, God did not only send Moses down there to Egypt, he went with him. And didn't only manifest himself and vindicate himself in signs and wonders, but he himself showed himself upon Mount Sinai in a pillar of fire, so did he. You got to believe, brother, sister. You got to believe. Blessed are they that wash their robes, because they alone have the right to the tree of life. Everything else is wicked. Everything else, what is it? Is in the image of Cain. Even the foolish virgin are following Cain, and they will be destroyed. They'll be taken out of the picture, absolutely. Now, in leaving this, we might consider the two legs. The Roman Empire split east and west. Everybody thinks then this is all over in Europe. This is the Roman Empire having come back. I got news for you. That's not true. The light came all the way to the west from the east. There's a leg over here, and there's a leg in Europe. And you do what you want, but all of South America and all of North America is now in Catholic control. And this is one of those legs that had the power to build the complete image to the beast and to rectify all that which they had lost, giving it back to heathenism and paganism in the previous empires. But since Brother Branham, Brother Branham has told us the truth that America has built the image, that image is definitely part over here, which is one of the feet. And you notice, the Roman Empire is not to be taken as concerning its old bounds. It is taken as concerning the headship of Rome, even as Babylon was Nebuchadnezzar, even as Greece was Alexander the Great, even as Medo-Persia was, I forget his name, but you know who he is. He mentioned there in the Bible. All of those men. So you go right down the line where the glory of Rome. And the glory of Rome was to Caesar, and Caesar took the title of the chief pontiff of the Babylonian religion. So you're looking at a headship. You're looking at a religion. You're looking at the moral spiritual situation. You're looking at a geopolitical ecclesiastical situation. You're looking at the dragon, whether you know it or not. You're looking at the power of Satan. You're seeing it culminated. You're looking at the very end, and the book has been opened. The seals have been ripped off, and there is nothing that hasn't been uncovered. Because the Bible said once those seals were open, don't you dare seal it up. If you're appealing this message, you're trying to seal it up. They're not going to get away with it. All right, next time round, we're going to go back to what I read, and we're going to take what Brother Branham said and comment on the passage, especially where Brother Branham takes Revelation 12 and makes it Revelation 13, which is not an error per se. He had a reason to do it. Let us rise at this particular time. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your goodness, allowing us to have the strength to come here, Lord. And Lord, maybe a little bit too fast talking for the people, but I believe, Father, enough was said by way of repetition to get an understanding of exactly where we are today, exactly the Old and New Testament lineup, exactly the vindication, exactly your presence, exactly the two spirits in our midst today, O God, one soon to be incarnated in that blessed Lamb of glory upon the Father's throne, and the other filthy spirit to be incarnated once more in a Judas, that spirit we see on every hand. And we understand now more about the power, how it is done. We see more of what the prophet said so correctly. We stand with the Lord because we can see it. We believe it's right here in the Word, letter by letter for us. And thereby will we grow. Every single word, Lord, has power in it. Every single word, Lord, that we receive into our minds and hearts has power in it. Until, Lord, it will be the power of the Holy Ghost and inflamed Holy Ghost life. No more lukewarm, not cold, but red hot with the zeal, Lord, which is commensurate to each one of us. Not trying to be a prophet or anything else, but just being a child of God. Help us, Lord, to be that world child, that word child, Lord. We give Thee the glory, Lord. We give Thee the honor. Not wanting to miss anything, and we won't, by the grace of Almighty God. It shall be ours. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Take the name.